This is Laurette Lynn, and you are listening to EX314 Podcast, exploring biblical principles to discover and extrapolate value, to discuss, learn, grow, and create a meaningful life. Welcome to the conversation.
How often do you feel stuck? Like you're stuck in a situation. Maybe it's not a physical place that you feel stuck. Maybe it is, but more than likely it's a situation that makes you feel stuck. Maybe it has to do with people around you, the circumstances around you, and things just are what they are, and you don't know how to change them because they're beyond your control. But maybe it's closer than that. Maybe it's you and your situation, and even though you reach out to try to find reasons that it's other people's fault that you're stuck in this situation, you still know that there's got to be something, there's got to be some change that you can make to make it better. You just don't know what it is. I think the majority of people at some point in their lives feel stuck financially. So I'm going to go with that example because I think it's very relatable. It could be that you feel stuck in a relationship. It could be that you feel stuck in a job. It could be that you just feel stuck with mounting debt that you just can't seem to get rid of. Now, all of those elements correlate to one another. They all work together to create the situation that you're in. The relationships that you have with the people around you, maybe in your immediate household, maybe in your immediate family, maybe in your immediate circle of friends, maybe among your coworkers. There are some people around you and some combination of people around you, and all of their energies are working together with yours to create whatever environment you're living in from day to day. There's a series of decisions and choices that you have made before this that put you in the situation that you're in. And it could be that decisions of other people have influenced the spot that you're in right now, but it was never one singular decision from one singular other person. Or it was never one singular event. Now, while every event and every decision alters your trajectory from that point forward, there are always a series of events and series of decisions and choices that you make that every single time you make them and every single minute will adjust your sails and therefore the trajectory and therefore where you landed right now in this moment. And every decision you make from here on out, in the next 10 seconds, in the next 60 seconds, in the next hour, day, week of your life, is going to alter your course from here on out. Now remember, choosing to stay where you are is also a choice. So it had everything to do with where you're going. Now, you might be listening and thinking, okay, vague. I've heard this before. Yeah, we're the product of all the decisions that we've made before, but that doesn't really help me because here's where I am. Well, what should help you is knowing that the slightest adjustment that you make on purpose is going to alter your course. See, the problem is that we don't always make these adjustments on purpose. We live in a reactive state a lot of times. We're reacting to the environment around us. Other people are making decisions that are creating certain situations and other events are set into motion, and we're constantly reacting to those things, instead of proactively deciding how to proceed. We're reacting emotionally to what's going on around us. Something happens and we feel happy about it, So we get into that place of joy and we hear something funny and we laugh, or we hear something sad and we feel sad, or someone gives us bad news and we feel angry or fearful or upset, or someone gives us good news and we feel happy about it. Those are all reactionary. And there's nothing inherently wrong with having an emotional response to stimulation that is constantly being pelted at us. And I mean, it's constant. And, you know, of course, the go-to is media. We're overstimulated by media and over-pelted by it all the time. We're always connected in some way to a social media platform or email or some kind of stimuli coming at us all the time, and we're reacting to it. We're scrolling through Instagram or Facebook, and we're reacting to just about every post we're seeing. Even choosing to ignore it and keep scrolling is making a choice. And sometimes, yes, that is the smarter choice. Reading our email and reacting to whatever news we're getting in the email. Seeing our text alert come on and reacting to that. We're reacting. And there's nothing wrong about that in and of itself, because that's part of life, that's part of existence. But when 100% of your life is about reacting to what's going on around you, instead of taking time to quiet, be still, and make a proactive decision about how you're going to respond to the stimulation that's happening in your life, that's when we get into places of feeling stuck. So it's about learning to recognize and make the distinction between what is controllable in our lives and what is not controllable in our lives. And it takes a lot of brain power and cognitive self-awareness to really distinguish between what is controllable and what is not controllable, because a lot of situations around us are actually within our control. We just either don't or won't recognize it. Because recognizing that we have control over a certain event or situation sometimes means that we also have to take responsibility for its existence in the first place. If I allow myself to recognize that I am in control of my finances, and I don't like what my finances look like right now, I also have to take responsibility and own up to the fact that my decisions and the choices that I made myself put me in the situation that I am in currently. And sometimes we don't want to do that. If we don't like the relationship that we're in, and we say, well, that's beyond my control, that's easier than saying, what part did I play in this? What actions did I commit? What decisions did I make? What words did I speak that created the dynamic in the relationship that I have today with this person? My spouse, my significant other, my best friend, my cousin, my mother, my brother, my sister, my daughter, my son, my boss, my coworker. I don't like the dynamic between the two of us. And maybe there are parts of it that certainly aren't within your control, because you can't control them. You can't control how they think. You can't control what they say. You can't control the decisions that they make. You certainly cannot control how they feel. But you can absolutely always control your responses and reactions to that person. You can respond to them proactively instead of reactively. You can decide whether or not you want to continue having a relationship with this person, or whether or not to put them at arm's length. And sometimes when I say that, people will respond to me and say, well, I can't control the relationship I have with this person. This is my mother or my son or my husband or my wife. I can't just leave them. It's not that simple. It's complicated. I can't alter the relationship. I am stuck in this relationship. You're never stuck forever. And maybe the relationship is something that you're committed to. And you want to maintain a relationship. You don't want to put that person out of your life. And you can't control them if they're being toxic and their behavior is toxic, but you can control your response to them. You can control the words that you speak to them. You can control whether or not you even answer them. You can control you. You can make that proactive decision about how you are going to react to that person. Now, let me add that if it is a toxic, dangerous situation where you are actually in danger, and I'm not just talking about physical danger because emotional and mental abuse are also very dangerous and very deteriorating to a person. And if you are the recipient of that kind of abuse in a relationship with someone in your life, whether it be your boss or your spouse or your cousin or your sibling or whatever it might be, if you are the recipient of manipulation and emotional abuse, you can't control them. You can talk to them about it, but you can't make them stop. You can't make them get help. You can't make them change, but you could still control your reaction to it. And if you're having trouble with that, you can still seek help for it. That's the decision that you can make. So do you see how in this example, if you look deep enough, you will find your power. You will find where you actually do have an opportunity to start changing your situation. And it does not happen immediately. It will not happen immediately, but it will happen. So let's zoom out again and just refocus and use the example of being stuck in a job or a career that it's killing you. You're not making enough money. It's definitely not fulfilling to you. But what are you going to do? You have bills to pay. You have responsibilities. You can't just quit. So you might be listening and saying, Loretta, if you tell me to just quit my job, then you're useless to me because I can't do that. So here's the thing. So many times in my life, throughout my life, I found myself in jobs, vocations that weren't right for me. And at the time that I took that opportunity, I thought it was. I thought, hey, this is exciting. I want to do this. This is going to be great. It's a perfect fit for me. And then it turned out that it wasn't. And I ended up staying much longer than I should have because I needed the money. I needed to pay my bills. And there were times that I took jobs that I didn't really want because I was in a financial crisis and I needed to pay off my debt. I needed to have that income. I needed to have benefits. And these are just examples. It's not always a job. There's relationships and other situations that we find ourselves in, but I think this is the most concrete example that people can relate to. And I think so many of us are feeling stuck in those situations, especially when you get to my age. I'm Gen X. I'm in my mid-40s. People right around my age and maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, are feeling like they're in that situation. They're stuck in a job that they don't like, or maybe they're stuck in a situation where they would love to have a job and they don't. I don't know what your particular situation is, but I know that it's very, very common to feel stuck and to feel like, how do I get out of this? And let me tell you why so many different things that you have tried have not worked. There are a couple of different reasons, but then one very important reason. So let's examine the lesser reasons first. You're stuck in a situation that is not working for you. And you choose to stay there because you're afraid to leave that situation. You're afraid of what the unknown is going to look like. Even though the known is making you miserable, it's familiar. And there is great safety in what is familiar. Even if it's monotonous, even if it's miserable, even if it's hurting you, even if it's destroying you, there's still a greater comfort in the familiar than the unknown. Because you don't know. You don't know if it's going to work out. You don't know if it might not make things worse. But my friend, you also don't know that it could be extraordinary. It could be just the elixir you need. So choices are a gamble. But if you continue to do what you are doing, you are going to continue to experience what you are experiencing. And then when you go down the line and you start freaking out because life just continues to be miserable for you and suck for you, whose fault is that? And you might be thinking, well, I have no choice, but you do. You always do. That's the beauty of it. There is so much more in our lives that we can control than we can't. Because even if you feel like you cannot control a situation because it's all based on the decisions of someone else, yes, that is their story. And there's not much you can do about that. But you can do everything about how you respond to that. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to change your response to it? Are you going to be reactive or are you going to be proactive? So going back to the example of jobs, I have a certain skill set and I didn't know really how else to utilize that skill set. So I went into a particular career direction and then I changed careers and actually I stopped careers and I worked freelance on the side and just did odd jobs, freelance jobs, and took assignments here and there while I was homeschooling my kids and while I was raising my kids. And then when it came time in my life to redirect again and start focusing on getting a job so that I can bring more money into the household and the kids were heading off into their own directions, I defaulted back to what I did before I had kids, because that was the skill set that I knew. And over again, the different areas that I tried just weren't working because I wasn't doing what was right for me. So let that resonate for a second. I wasn't doing what was right for me. I wasn't doing what God created me to do. Just because I'm good at some things doesn't mean that those are the things that I'm called to do. And that's confusing, isn't it? Because you might think, well, I am a really, really good cook, so I should be a chef. Maybe not. I am a really good communicator, and I always assumed that I should be in sales. I'm good at it. Maybe not. I know a woman that is very, very talented actor. She's a wonderful performer. She's very good on stage. But that's not what she does. What does she do? She teaches. She teaches dramatic arts to youth and children. She is still utilizing her talent, but she's utilizing it in the way that she was more meant to utilize it. Because at some point in her life, she realized that she's going to be more fulfilled and bear more fruit by teaching other children the dramatic process and all about theater. And those children are benefiting in such extraordinary ways. And not all of them will go on to become actors in their lives or entertainers in their lives. But when you're a teenager and a preteen and you go through drama and theater, there is so much that these kids learn about life and learn about different types of people and learn about communication and literature and reading and how to respond to situations, and they get to act out these complex human situations and tragedies and comedies and all these different kinds of complex environments through the safety of the stage. There's so much for a child to learn when they pursue dramatic arts. So this woman that I'm talking about, that's her calling. That's her path. So it's still her God-given talent that she's utilizing it. But see, that's what a lot of us do. We assume, I'm good at this, so this is probably what God wants me to do. Maybe you need to tweak it a little bit. I found so much more fulfillment and joy in teaching other people or coaching other people in how to communicate more effectively. While I was homeschooling my children, that's what I did freelance, is I was a coach and a consultant, and I would consult with groups and individuals on better speaking and better communicating. And a lot of times it had to do with the area of sales or politics, which honestly is really still sales. So I was still utilizing the skill that I had built up before I had kids. I was still utilizing the gifts that God gave me, but I was utilizing those gifts and those skills in a way that to me was so much more fruitful than directly doing the thing. And then when things started to get tight and situations in my family changed, thanks to a chaotic event that we experienced several years ago, I decided, well, I'm just going to have to focus. I'm not making enough money right now. I'm going to have to just get a full-time job and everything's going to have to change. And it caused a lot of anxiety in me, but I was completely and utterly focused on, well, I have to control this situation and I need money. That's my goal. I need money. I don't care what I have to do to get it. So I just went back into sales, and you know what? It was such a struggle. And I can't say that I wasn't good at it, because I was, but it felt like such a struggle until I realized, and I jumped from one place to another, thinking that, well, if it's a different company, maybe it'll work out better. Because I was blaming the company for just being a toxic company. And it just still wasn't working. Here's why. I didn't have my eye on the true prize. I was focused on bigger paycheck, bigger paycheck, bigger paycheck, more commission, bigger paycheck. And it would come and it would go. It ebbed and it flowed. But there was never any kind of consistency to it that allowed me to feel safe or fulfilled. And I felt unhappy. I felt miserable. I didn't like what I was doing. And for a long time, I blamed the environment. It's the company's fault. It's my supervisor's fault. It's the product's fault. It was me. And it wasn't because I wasn't giving 100% into my job, which, that's another argument, but that wasn't the reason that I was unhappy. I was unhappy because it wasn't right for me. It wasn't fitting. And it wasn't right for me, and it wasn't fitting because I wasn't seeking the most important objective. Now, money's important. We got to pay our bills, right? I had debt. I had to pay down the debt. So that was important. But I made it the number one. And it can't be the number one. The number one has to be spirit-led. I'm going to go to a verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That is Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. My friends, God has to be the absolute first priority in the decisions that you make if you want to start feeling unstuck. If you want to start feeling like you are in alignment with your calling, and let me tell you, when you are in alignment with your calling, it changes everything. Someone could be very, very good with chemistry, like just great. And maybe their calling is to work for a university and do studies and research. Maybe their calling is to develop apothecary Maybe their calling is to teach. Now, I've heard people say, well, those who can't do teach, ha, 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 ha. And of course, there are teachers out there that suck, that shouldn't be doing what they're doing. But there are teachers out there that are brilliant and awesome at what they do. And it doesn't mean that they can't do the thing. It means that they have recognized that their call isn't to do the thing. Their call is to bear fruit by helping other people do the thing. Not saying that you're not fruitful if you're not teaching. Of course you are. But some of us feel like we're stuck in these situations, especially in career fields, where we're working and spinning our wheels, barely just making enough, not really getting ahead. Everything's just stagnating. And we don't really feel like we're bearing much fruit. We're not, because we're not where we need to be. Something needs to be tweaked. Something needs to change. Does that mean that you should quit what you're doing and go teach what you're doing? I don't know. I'm not even really talking to anybody specifically here. I don't know who's listening. I hope you are. But how am I going to know? I don't know what you need to do, but you can know. Well, how am I going to know? Is it just going to come to me magically? Is it my intuition? Should I trust my gut? Should I take a gamble and quit my job and go do something else? I don't know. But a tweak has to happen. And instead of allowing your sails of your ship to be adjusted by the winds that are just blowing you around and circling all over the ocean, getting nowhere, it's time for you to make a deliberate, proactive decision to navigate. Pull those sails yourself, make a decision about the direction you want to go in, and head there. And guess what? You're not going to get there immediately. You have a long way to go. But you have to start heading there. So how do you know where to head? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God has to be the first priority. Our relationship with God is one of absolute intimacy. The energy that is God is part of you because it is the energy that gives you life. That is why it is such an intimate relationship. It is part of who you are. God is part of who you are. The energy that is God is the same energy that gave life to you when you were conceived. There is no more intimate relationship than that. So you need to plug into that and align yourself with that. If you're chasing the pot of gold, you might find it and then you're going to lose it. If you're chasing status, you want to feel important, you want to feel like you matter, you want people applauding you, you want people to recognize you, you want to be a powerful CEO, you might get there. But you might still feel stuck and unhappy and miserable when you're there. Because that is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be used and utilized in this world in the way that you were meant to be utilized. When you are utilizing your true gifts and your true potential, that's where happiness exists. Because that means you are in alignment with your purpose, your real purpose. And if you seek that first, to be in alignment with God's purpose for you, then everything else will be taken care of. The bills will get paid. The blessings will come. Things will fall into alignment. Things will fall into place. But you have to adjust your sails and steer toward the real purpose. The kingdom of God is in us. We are manifestations of God's love and light. We are made of God's divine energy. It is only ourselves by our own doing that we tap out of alignment and dull the flow of God's power and it starts undulating. We have to focus. Align your mind, body, and spirit with the holy presence of God that does exist here and allow that spiritual blood to beat the heart of your life. God must be the pulse through every second of your life. church, community, job, family, social life, relationships, etc. We don't simply make time for God. We must become God-centric. Because God's love is focused and centered on us, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday, whether we are praising or sleeping or playing or working, so too must we be centered on God and God's love. The power is there. Plug into it and stay plugged into it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the objective. So when you ask yourself, what should I be doing to make more money? Or what should I be doing to feel fulfilled? Or what should I be doing to have a better relationship? Or what should I be doing with the skills that I have? It's a simple question. What's in alignment with God's overall purpose? What is going to glorify God by serving other human beings in meaningful ways? And not everybody has the same answer. For some people, that means going to work at a supermarket and stocking shelves, because that's how you are serving in a meaningful way. You are helping that company succeed. For some people, they have a particular skill for administrative duties and they enjoy it. Excel and Word and PowerPoint and building presentations. And they go and serve in meaningful ways. And that's their calling. Some people are really, really good at understanding football. But maybe they're older. Maybe physically they're challenged in some way. And they're not actually playing football, but they're really good at understanding it. So they teach it, they coach it, they mentor. Some people are really good at sales, so they get into the field of sales. And that's a tricky one. You want to be careful with that one, because sales is actually a very noble profession, and it's a very decent profession overall. But of course, there are sneaky salespeople, but you know, that doesn't mean that the whole profession in and of itself is bad. When you're in a job, though, if you're a good salesperson and you're in a particular career path where you are actually serving other people in meaningful ways, a real estate agent is helping a family find their dream home based on the budget that they have, and that real estate agent is very honest and forthright and making sure that those people are being served meaningfully, she's living her calling, or he's living his calling. Someone that's selling financial services, serving other people in meaningful ways. Maybe you've been there and done that, and you really don't feel like God is using you in that way anymore. Go teach other people how to do it well. Maybe that's your calling right now. And that's another thing. It can change, because you change. You grow and you get experience and you have different things happen to you in your life. You change. And when you change, sometimes you adjust your sails again, move into a greater calling and a greater purpose for your life. It's not just one. It's different now than it was when you were 18. And that's okay. Abide by it. Go with it. Adjust your sails proactively toward what your calling is going to be. And if you think, well, this is my calling because this is how I can become rich and famous. No. Your calling is, where can you be most meaningful to the lives of other people and glorify God? Where's the kingdom of God in your life? Head toward that. That's how you get unstuck, by proactively making that decision. And I can't tell you what that means for you, because it means something different for me than it does for everybody else out there. But it applies to everything. Your job, your relationships, your social life, everything. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. And then adjust your sails and have faith. If you're seeking the kingdom, you don't have to see beyond the horizon to know it's there. If you're seeking the kingdom, you don't have to see the end point or the destination on the map to know it's there. You just know it's there because you know that you are focused on the right goal. Allow God to be part of your goals, and that's when everything starts to change. Little by little, you have to have patience. Little by little, mile by mile, step by step. But you have to keep going, and you have to set your sights on the right goal, the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be given to you. I hope you enjoy this. I would love to get some feedback from you, so really be happy to reach out to me. I so much enjoy getting emails from you. It really just fills my day. Even if you have a problem with something that I've said, I normally end up engaging in conversation over that. So please do keep them coming. If you would like to have an on-air conversation with me, then just contact me. I can be found at laurettelynn.com or on Facebook, or just email info@laurettelynn.com. You can chat about it. If you have a recommendation, a book that you'd like for me to read, anything of the sort, I'm very happy to hear from you. I usually respond with emails. Thank you so much for listening. Laurette out.